Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Talking about good friends, and this gentleman's been connected to my program from the get-go, and we say thank you to Dr. History. Good morning.
All right. Today, I'm going to talk about a guy that I'm going to step out on a limb here. His name is Arizona Charlie.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Some of our people in Arizona have heard of this guy, and if you have, I apologize, because I never have.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Arizona Charlie, up on my shelf, I've got a baseball cap from his bar, grill, and casino.
Well, maybe it's the same guy.
Oh, I'm sure it is. He greets everybody when they walk in the door.
Well, I think this guy's dead.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. In the summer of 1882, the CBQ Apaches, now I don't know if I said that right either, CBQ or CYBEC, I'm not sure, they were not happy over the U.S. Army killing their medicine man, and his name was Nokedikolini. Okay, don't ask me to say that again.
You know, Dr. History, there was not even an inkling that I would ask you to say that again.
Anyway, they had killed this medicine man the year before. So that July, roughly 50 Apaches went on a wild spree. They were burning, looting, killing into a place called the Tonto Basin, which is in central Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Fort Apache troops followed in hot pursuit, and on July 17th, at a place called Big Dry Wash, they caught up with the Apaches, and they were outmanned and outgunned. The Apaches were routed in what became the last battle fought between the U.S. Army and the Apaches on Arizona soil. But the Apaches had already forever changed the life of the Meadows family. Just 2 days before, on July 15th, Apache warriors attacked the Meadows ranch. Barking dogs sent John Meadows Sr. to the creek to investigate. When a shot rang out about 70 yards from his cabin, he threw up his arms, he shouted, and fell dead. Now, grabbing their rifles, Henry and John Jr. ran to help their father, but they were both wounded by gunfire.
Oh, my.
Well, when the bleeding boys reached their cabin, Henry, the son, fell on the porch, not able to get up. His mother, Margaret, and 9-year-old Jake had to pull him inside. Now, the mother, Margaret, and Maggie, 13, and James, 12, and a family friend named Sarah Jane Hazelton, they grabbed rifles, and they started firing back. Well, the Apaches kept shooting the cabin with gunfire until probably about 8 o'clock that night, until 8 o'clock the next morning, and when finally the shooting stopped. Well, the family watched the Apaches herd the ranch's cattle and horses. Many of these animals were later found needlessly slaughtered along the trail.
Mm.
Now, that's a little unusual for the Indians to kill, horses and cattle like that.
Right.
But the Meadows family alone lost 200 head in the raid, and Margaret, the mother, dispatched a guy named Johnny Gray to go to Pine Creek to notify Charlie, who was another son. Now, a few days earlier, Charlie had ridden there to guide an army detachment from Fort McDowell to General Springs. When word of the tragedy reached him, Charlie rode as fast as he could towards home. Well, he got there at the family ranch to find his father dead and two of his brothers badly wounded. The oldest son, Henry, actually died 2 months later. So now Charlie, age 22, was now the man of the house. Charlie was actually born and named Abraham Henson Meadows on March 10th, 1860, along a place called Elbow Creek near today's Visalia, California. And he was the sixth of 12 children. Now, his dad was a preacher and a rancher, and he was a Confederate sympathizer. And when Abraham Lincoln became the nation's president, John changed his son's name to Charles instead of Abraham. Didn't want to have the name Abraham there. Anyway, so in 1877, the family settled on a ranch at Diamond Valley, north of Payson.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that area?
Yes, I am. Very much so.
Okay. So in 1884, 2 years after Charlie lost his father and his oldest brother on that ranch during the Apache Wars, Charlie entered a new arena. With a guy, a friend of his named John C. Chilson, he organized the Payson Rodeo, which some historians credit as America's first rodeo. Charlie also helped organize Prescott's and Phoenix's rodeos. Now, I know there's been other claims here and there about America's first rodeo, but, you know, that's one that they claim could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Charlie became a top steer roper in a territory that, you know, bred some of America's best rodeo cowboys in that Arizona country.
Mm-hmm.
And he also loved to gamble, and a lot of times he'd bet his rodeo purse on his skills gambling, and most of the time he actually won, which is a little unusual. So at the Payson Rodeo in November 1888, while riding his white horse Snowstorm, Charlie won nearly every event, beating the future gun for hire, Tom Horn. That's a familiar name.
Mm.
He beat Tom Horn at steer roping, but the next year, Tom Horn won. And that was before Tom got into some other trouble.
Absolutely.
But both cowboys caught the eye of William Buffalo Bill Cody, who was in attendance that day. He invited them to join his Wild West show. Now, Tom Horn turned down Cody's offer, but Charlie, he headed out to Cody's ranch in North Platte, Nebraska, to kind of talk about the details. He wanted to find out a little more. So, unable to find Cody, Charlie returned to rodeo, setting new records in steer roping and in Prescott. Then he went again in Phoenix. And, you know, Charlie had made up his mind to perform in a Wild West show. He loved that. And he needed to free himself from the responsibility of running the family ranch. Well, he got his chance. On August 16, 1890, Charlie hosted a cattle gathering and a double wedding for his sister Maggie and her friend Julia. Now, after the wedding, Charlie allowed the couples to rope and brand all of the unbranded calves on the Meadows Ranch, and by sundown, the two newlyweds couples had gathered enough calves to start their own herds. So now, Charlie didn't have the duty of his family ranch. He left Payson to pursue his dream, and in 1890, he traveled the world for 2 years with, now this one I had never heard of, it's called Wirth's Wild West Show, W-I-R-T-H, Wirth's. I don't know if you've heard of them or not.
No, I never did hear of that company, no.
I haven't either.
Mm.
Well, anyway, he was performing in Australia with a guy named Texas Jack. Charlie became enthralled with a gal by the name of Marion May Murray, and she had run away and joined the circus, and the two married aboard a ship in the Philippines, and after 32 years of a happy-go-lucky being a bachelor, Charlie settled down. So he's 32 years old and married now.
She wasn't the bearded lady, was she?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I didn't have a picture.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so Charlie met up with Buffalo Bill Cody in London, England in 1892, and he had long dreamed of joining with Cody. But Marion, his wife, was not so enthused about it, and she kind of issued an ultimatum. She said, "If you go, our marriage is over."
Uh-oh.
Well, guess what? On August 10th, Charlie joined Cody at a party for Buffalo Bill's Wild West and Congress of Rough Riders of the World. And so the marriage was over. But anyway, the people included performers with pretty colorful nicknames. There was a guy named Pony Bob, another one, the Cowboy Kid. And Cody said that, you know, Charlie, you need a better name than just Charlie. So why not Arizona Charlie?
There you
that
go.
That is how he got his name. And now Charlie toured Australia, Asia, Europe, Canada, Alaska, meeting famous people, including Will Rogers, Jack London, Zane Grey, Rudyard Kipling, and Annie Oakley. And he even performed before England's Queen Victoria.
Mm.
And he always wore his signature red neckerchief and fringed buckskin jacket. He had long flowing hair that went to his shoulders and always wore this broad brimmed hat. Now, this guy was big. He was 6'6".
Oh, my.
He could have played basketball, you know. Big guy, Charlie, but he was an imposing figure in the arena, just a big guy. And in 1893, he started his own show, and it was called Arizona Charlie's Historical Wild West. Now, during an 1894 performance at California Santa Cruz Fiesta, Charlie hired a very pretty, beautiful rider named Ida Mae McCamish.
Mm-hmm.
And he billed her as Mae Melbourne, I guess, to honor Australia for whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, May was hopelessly in love with Charlie, and Charlie, he was still kind of enjoying the bachelor life, but in 1898, Charlie and May set out for the Klondike to make their fortune in gold, and newspapers reported the two married prior to the trip, and not quite sure if he was actually divorced at the time, but nevertheless. Charlie preferred performing to mining, so he opened a place called the Palace Grand Theater in Dawson in 1899, and actually, they say that's still in operation today.
Oh.
But this three-story theater originally seated 2,200 people. Now, that was a huge stage.
Absolutely.
But it was big enough for Charlie to demonstrate his sharpshooting talents, sometimes with him on horseback. Everyone agreed Charlie was the Klondike's most flamboyant showman. He livened up the show every night by shooting a cigarette out of May's mouth or targeting glass balls off the top of her head from 25 yards away.
Did you ever wonder, I've got to ask you a question there, if this was indoors at this 2,200-seat auditorium, what about the people behind the stage curtain while he's doing the shooting?
You know, I suppose after the first time, they learned where to go.
I see.
I'm just guessing. They didn't stick around behind where he was shooting. So, anyway, one of his star attractions was a gal by the name of Kate Rockwell, and she was better known as Klondike Kate, and Charlie paid her $200 a week to be in his show. Now, stories vary on Charlie's success as a Klondike stampeder. Some say he came home with a pocket full of money. Others say he returned nearly broke. And by 1901, the Klondike boom was pretty much fading out. So Charlie sold the Palace Grand. He traveled up and down the Pacific Coast to promote Wild West acts. But, you know, Zeb, like you and I, he was getting older, and he wanted to postpone the inevitable, so he took up residence with his wife, May, down in Yuma, Arizona, and thought that would be a better place to live. But never wanted to sit still very long. Charlie searched for lost treasure in Mexico, and that never panned out to anything. In 1914, Charlie received a bit of a surprise. He laid eyes on his daughter, also named Marion May.
Oh, my.
And her mother was Charlie's first wife. And she had kept them apart and claimed that the father was dead. So his daughter, up until then, thought that her father was dead.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, May, Charlie's second wife, kind of drifted out of the scene.
Oh, my.
So she's gone. Now, Marion, his daughter, and Charlie, they got together and they bonded, and he took her on cruises, told her stories of his adventures, everything. And anyway, Marion, the daughter, actually reunited her parents after 34 years apart. Now, you know, after not seeing somebody for 34 years, they saw each other, kind of looking each other over and wondered. She must have said, I wonder what attracted her in the first place. She must have asked herself, quote, is this gaunt, leathery-faced old man the same tall, handsome, swashbuckling cowboy I fell in love with? And he probably looked at this beautiful, matronly, gray-haired lady as the beautiful blonde that he had married, you know, 34 years prior to that. But anyway, they kind of got together. They enjoyed a pretty good relationship the rest of their days. And not ready to go on to his final resting place, Charlie thought Yuma's dry climate would extend his life, and he'd ride his horse into town from his ranch every day. Occasionally he'd ride through the swinging doors of a saloon and leading folks to say, quote, Arizona Charlie is still out there sowing his wild oats.
Hmm.
Now, Charlie, tell me if you've heard this statement. Charlie had, quote, seen the elephant.
Oh, yeah.
That means he'd seen a lot of things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Been there, done that.
Okay. But he says he was born during a snowstorm in a California town where it rarely snowed. He gathered rodeo championships on his horse Snowstorm. In Yuma, where no records show that it had ever snowed, he was also fond of saying, quote, it'll be a snowy day in Yuma when they plant this old Hase Emperor, which was a term for the territory's earliest pioneers. So, anyway, Don Meadows was a relative to Arizona Charlie, and he found a belt buckle, and it was engraved with something that said, Prescott, July 4th, 1886, best time, 59 and a half seconds.
Wow.
Now, he did some searching, and in the Weekly Journal Miner newspaper, 59 and a half seconds was the time Arizona Charlie took to tie a steer in 1888.
I'll be darned.
The steer kicked loose, so Arizona Charlie was not awarded the time for a score. Now, I don't think 59 and a half seconds would set too many records today. Do you, Zeb?
No, but you got to remember that the cattle and circumstances, equipment, and arena conditions, everything were so, I'll use the word archaic, compared to what they are today.
Well, and it might have been a big, huge arena that you had to chase that steer for 30 seconds before it could ever get a rope.
Very, very possible. Yeah.
So that's the story of Arizona Charlie, and if somebody's heard of him, I'd like to know. Just go to my webpage and send me an email.
No, I was not being facetious. Wheels, there's a little feedback on the line. Help me on that. I was not being facetious. I do have a baseball cap that I picked up at his casino, Arizona Charlie's Casino and Bar and Grill, and it's up on my wall. The next time you're here, I'll show it to you.
Yeah, well, he died when 1914, somewhere. I'm not sure when he died exactly.
Yeah.
So, he was still around, you know, for a long time. So that must have been his bar, I guess, or his,
But that was an interesting story, and again, kudos to you for a great job this morning. Listen, when you get a chance, give me a call later on today sometime on my cell phone. I'd appreciate it.
All right, you have a good day, Zeb.
Ladies and gentlemen, none better than Dr. History right here on Zeb at the Ranch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.